a train with wagons covered in snow from Salzburg all the way to Vienna. That's roughly the snow clearing performance that takes place here in April during spring snow clearance on the Großglockner.
So says Dr. Johannes Hörl, CEO of the Grohag Management Board. And with that, welcome to the Glockner Gipfel, the podcast of Großglockner Hochalpenstraßen AG. This episode of our podcast is about how the adventure road is made accessible to visitors again in spring. Every year, an incredible amount of snow has to be removed and moved for this purpose. This time, we hear about the challenges of clearing snow on the high alpine road, then and now, and talk to Grohag employees about their day-to-day work, but also about the dangers of avalanches, for example, and how the road is made a safe experience. My name is Max Kogel, and I would like to take you with me on this exciting journey and wish you lots of fun at Austria's highest view. Around 800,000 cubic meters of snow on average per year lie on the Großglockner High Alpine Road at the beginning of spring. The height of the wall of snow that has to be cleared away is around 8 to 12 meters every year, depending on the severity of the winter. The record for the highest snow wall dates back to the year 153. At that time, it was an incredible 21 meters. But how is it even possible to cope with such quantities of snow? A look back. In 1938, snow clearance was still purely manual. That means 350 men were on the job with their snow shovels for up to 10 weeks. Anyone who has ever cleared even 20 square meters of snow from a driveway 40 centimeters high with just a snow shovel can understand what an ordeal it must have been for the workers back then. In the 50s, there were 6 conventional snow blowers and 51 men in 6 weeks. Today, the rotary plows developed by Franz Wallach suffice, plus one snow groomer and around 20 men. They work their way towards each other from both sides of the Glockner Road until they meet at the Hochtor breakthrough. 48 kilometers of road will then have been cleared of snow. However, this is only possible thanks to an invention from the middle of the last century by graduate engineer Franz Wallach, the so-called Wallach rotary plow. These are still in use today, virtually in their original condition. The builder of the Großglockner High Alpine Road has been working on it since the 1940s. There was a lot of experimentation, initially with snow clearing vehicles fitted with normal tires, with less success. Winter tires did not come onto the market until the year 1951. The machines equipped with tracks instead of tires were much more promising. But it was an ingenious invention by Franz Wallach that made it possible to significantly speed up snow clearing. Instead of milling off the snow centimeter by centimeter, the blades on the roller, which are shaped like plowshares, cut the snow into 8 centimeter thick slices. These blades then manage around 3,700 cubic meters of snow per hour, which is ejected up to 50 meters through the lateral ejection chutes. To ensure that the roller and throwing wheels can be controlled independently of each other, they are each driven by a 125 horsepower motor. 3,700 cubic meters of snow per hour corresponds to the daily output of 370 shovelers. The 20 square meters of driveway I quoted earlier would therefore probably be cleared in less than a second. Looking into the driver's cab of a Wallach rotary plow seems like something from another era. Everything still looks like it did 60 years ago and still works in exactly the same way. Grohag employee Arnold Striegel describes the view into the cockpit, and you can see the fascination for his long-serving machine and decades-old technology that still works.
Yes, this is our control panel where we have the three motors, the left throwing motor, the right throwing motor, and the drive motor. Then we have our oil pressure gauges and temperature gauges. And all three of these, our starter buttons and our throttle levers, the three white ones are the throttle levers. That's where we give full throttle when we're ready. These are our steering levers. so that we can drive the machine around bends, of course. This is our hydraulic system, where we can lift and swivel the machine. These two are for the two fresh snow flaps, so you can get up afterwards if you have a bit more snow. And this is for the ejection setting. I can swivel to the right or to the left.
However, the speed and success of snow clearing depends not only on the use of technical equipment, but also on the meteorological conditions in the high mountains. Time and again, weather storms can hinder the work or set back the clearing progress. These are not easy conditions, especially with such veteran snow clearing equipment, as Sebastian Wall describes.
Yes, exactly. When there's a snowstorm and everything, it's just the windshield that's clear, and all the windows on the side are full of snow. You can only see out through the small circle. If something were to break or tear down, then of course, I'll have to get under the machine, no matter how the weather is, of course.
In bad weather, however, the risk of avalanches also increases, and this is, of course, constantly monitored before and during snow clearing, but also afterwards, as the two mountain guides and avalanche experts, Stefan Rieger and Ralph Meyer, report.
Yes, well, at the Upper Nassfeld, we have practically our base camp, so to speak. We also have the snow measuring station there, and we report our snow measurements daily to Salzburg for the Laminate Warning Service, and talk to them in Salzburg, and they give us information about what they observe and know from neighboring organizations. That's where we see the big picture. There are trained meteorologists and snow experts there.
We have to look in the snow, because the snow is, in terms of exposure, always completely different, the snowpack structure. And so we always have to get a picture on site, in the snow cover. And you can only do that if you're doing field work, as they say. They say in avalanche work. So you have to do the work in the field so that you can see what we're up against. And what kind of layers are in the snowpack. It can happen that we make a safety barrier. Then we talk to all the commission members together. Because we are not alone. Me and Stefan, there are still quite a few members of Grohag, on the south side and on the north side. We then talk together, and then it's decided unanimously. And then we say, okay, it's not possible today because of the snow conditions or for whatever reason. And then we make a safety ban.
We have many protective structures, rockfall nets. There are many galleries in the area of the Fuscherlocke. Quite a lot is being done because rockfall has become a real issue in recent years. Due to the rising permafrost line, in recent years, the real work only started when the roads opened. The fresh snow makes a lot of work, not only for the rolling crew, but also for us, for the safety team. The fresh snow is quickly soaked through and must then be secured as quickly as possible. This means by blasting and other safety measures, just as it was last year, was until the end of May, beginning, middle of June. The biggest work for all of us. The real work usually only starts after the snow has been cleared. That's when it gets exciting, when the work with the guests begins. Decisions have to be made. Can we leave it open? Do we secure it? Do we have to open later? That's what it looks like.
A major challenge at the start of snow clearance is finding the road in the first place. In the fall, snow poles are placed at the edge of the roads on the valley side. Just before the rotary plows are used, mountain guides on touring skis mark the width of the road uphill from each snow pole with a measuring rod and draw a ski track along these points. Meanwhile, a snow groomer equipped with GPS is also used to push the first loose snow together and thus create a track for the snow plows to work on safely, as Sebastian Jury, head of snow clearing, tells us.
That's right, the snow groomers have already driven the advance command, so to speak. They have a GPS system and everything they need to see the road perfectly. He does the first clearing phase once, drives over it once, scrapes over the snow poles everywhere, on the edge of the road, so to speak, so that it is marked for us at the back, where there is a bit more snow, so that it becomes more difficult for us. Then the snow groomer driver simply drives a full wash back and forth and pushes it away once so that it's just perfect for us at the back. In earlier times, they used to manage to make the first cut, the first route. Now Christoph does it with the snow groomer. I think we've been trying it out with the snow groomers since, you have to lie, since about the 1992. And since then, of course, it's been doing a lot of the work up ahead. So basically the snow poles, as you can see in the background or at the side of the road, we've always had them. So you know roughly that there's a nice road there. If, for example, an avalanche tears away the snow poles in winter, which happens again and again, then you have to use the measuring tape. Maybe you have a reference point somewhere on the edge of the village. Or if it's very rough, the avalanche probes that the men simply assess the situation as it was now. Experts, what went before, simply look with the avalanche probe. So now we have dirt, or do we now possibly have asphalt underneath? And that's just the way you have to do it.
When the snow clearing is completed in spring, the blue monsters, as the Wallach ploughs are affectionately called by the employees, sometimes remain alongside the road and can therefore also be viewed by visitors. What strikes me is that each plough has its own name, namely a first name, all of them, except for one. Johannes Hurl explains what this is all about.
This rotational plowing system, Wallach, as I said, was developed over 70 years ago. He spent years testing how to achieve the optimum clearing performance. The snow ejection over this device is over 50 meters, which is relatively far. And this machine we are standing in front of has the name Ander. And the special thing about these vehicles is that they all have a first name. And that was the first name of the designer or the milling machine operator in the first category, so to speak. They were allowed to give their first names here, so to speak. And there is a Wallach rotary plough that was actually supposed to be called Franz after Franz Wallach. Franz Wallach didn't want that. And he then specialized in the name Eisbendiger. In other words, we still have a machine called the Eisbendiger. It was actually one of the very first devices. It's because Franz Wallach didn't want his name up here.
These are all men's first names. And when asked how many people are needed to clear the snow these days, Johannes Hurl also explains why this is the case.
So today there are about two teams, about 12 people each, so about 20 to 25 men on duty. And I say men because it's a fact that we don't have a single woman on duty here clearing the snow. It's true, the snow clearers are really working here in the high mountains under very, very tough conditions. Snow depths of up to 21 meters have been measured even this year, although the precipitation was not so extreme. Snow depths of 6 to 8 meters were actually the order of the day, and we have only recently started using GPS, this snow pole route, this procedure, this illuminating of the path, so to speak, was and still is a very dangerous activity. We really do have mountain guides and alpinists on the job, which has always been a very, how should I put it, very strenuous and above all male activity. And for safety reasons, we have never opened it up, which is quite interesting because we know that many women have achieved very, very great things in the high mountains, in alpinism. But in this area, in this niche, we are exclusively male.
But that means the challenge starts anew every year and you don't know exactly how it will turn out.
Yes, snow clearing is always a bit of a lottery. Sometimes you think in March that it will be less work this year because the precipitation wasn't enough, or you prepare for a longer snow clearing period and then a fortnight later it's completely different again. For example, last year the precipitation was so exorbitant in April that we actually had to close again three times in May. So we completed the snow clearing at the end of April and then actually closed again after 3 days. Then there was precipitation again. It's different every year. We can't say that the snowfall is generally less. It was a little less this year, but it could be twice and three times as much again next year. It's actually a very erratic snow and precipitation behavior here on the Glocknerstrasse and in the high mountains, and that's a good thing. These are also somehow issues that you can't predetermine, where nature is simply enormous and we just have to adapt to it.
Incidentally, the first guests on the Grossglockner High Alpine Road, after it opens up to Fuschertal, are mostly ski tourers, because the relatively short ascent of the Kloben is followed by a long descent over 1,600 meters of altitude into the valley head of Verleiten. Given the huge amount of snow, you could also ask yourself, is the snow completely useless on the road? I would say no. Because unlike my driveway, some of the snow on and off the adventure road is in great demand and is urgently needed in other places. For example, snow from the Grossglockner is used in some winters to prevent major sporting events from being cancelled due to a lack of snow, such as the Biathlon World Cup in Ruppolding, the Four Hills Tournament in Bischofshofen, or the Hahnenkamm race on the legendary Strife in Kitzbühel. Once the snow has been cleared, the road remains open to visitors throughout the summer and into the fall. How long exactly?
That is relatively certain. Until the national holiday on October 26th, we have basically always had the Grossglockner Hochalpenstrasse open for decades in that time period. If the weather doesn't allow it, then we close a few days earlier. However, we are often still open at the beginning of November. So, of course, it depends on the weather. But normally the Glockner Road is always open until the end of October.
This was a new episode of Glockner Gipfel, the podcast of Grossglockner Hochalpenstraßen AG. Many thanks at this point to the Service TV team, who provided us with some of the original interview recordings with GroHack employees. We would be delighted if you enjoyed it and would like to leave us a positive review on the podcast platforms. Or if you would like to recommend the Glockner Gipfel to others and subscribe. For more information, please visit our website at grossglockner.at or send us an email to info@grossglockner.at. Thank you for listening and hear you next time.
This podcast was recorded in German language and then transformed to English with the help of artificial intelligence.